Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Everyone, this is Captain Frank and Dredd, and you're listening to Ship to Shore Radio on this holiday season, this particular Tuesday heading into Christmas. I hope everyone has all of your presents taken care of, and you haven't indulged yourself in too much eggnog. And this particular evening, we're waiting upon Evil Rob to get back, perhaps with Jimmy Pappas from Orlando, Florida, which everyone knows is the very special guest this evening. He'll be sitting in through the two programs, both Ship to Shore, the Captain Frank and Dredd Show, and also through Dredded Sports Talk. Yo, Ken, I was kind of wondering, man, during this holiday season, do you listen to the traditional tunes down in your stateroom with your wench, or do you listen to Caribbean-style or island-style Christmas music?
I use a mixture. The traditional Christmas songs, and I have a lot of the trap rock artists have a lot of Christmas albums out. I got the Buffett album. I got Robert Greenwich's Christmas CD. I even got a little bit of Garth Brooks. I got a mixture of everything. Dave Lapio, another guy used to play with Jim Morris on the steel drums before John Patti. A mixture. I put it all on the iPod and just hit shuffle, and it just comes up however the gods like it.
Yeah. It looks like Evil is pulling up with Jimmy now, and it seems like every week, we're going to have to put on a much larger searchlight, because the guests have a problem sometimes finding the ship, and it's a good thing that Evil Rob was able to find Jimmy. How are you doing this evening, Jimmy?
I am here. I'm in Orlando, Florida, and I'm glad to be here. I'm doing fine.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
Good, Ken. How you doing? Ken, my buddy.
Ken.
Yeah, the thing about Ken being the trusty first mate on Ship to Shore is he has an opportunity to go and find all kinds of good people to bring upon the ship for this program that we have on Tuesdays. And, you know, one of the things that I really like about you, Jimmy, is you certainly get around. You have no problem putting food on the table, because not only are you a vocalist and a drummer, but you also play guitar.
That's true. That's my... I think I've been doing that my whole life. It seems like my motive is I spread myself too thin. That's basically it. I just do everything, and, you know, I love playing the drums. I've been doing that since I was a kid, and, you know, that's been my main source of fun. And, you know, but I do my solo stuff and my acoustic stuff, and I have my Beatles tribute bands, and I try to play drums with a lot of different people, and just have a great time doing it all. So it's a lot of fun.
And the thing is, too, in life, I don't understand people who don't understand others who have a wealth of talent, because they always try to, I don't know if this ever happened to you in your life. Did anyone ever try and tell you that you should stick to one thing?
Well, you know, and I found that can be true. You know, when you spread yourself out and you do everything, you know, like, and I'm sure Ken knows, even with the trap rock thing, a lot of times I don't even go into some of the other stuff that I've done, and, you know, the Beatles things and everything, because it's just too much. Sometimes it's overkill, too much for people to handle. They just want to think that you're just one thing. You're just a guy with an acoustic guitar, or you're just a drummer. But I did notice over the years, especially young on, a lot of the guys I knew in Jersey and in New York, the ones that could only do one thing and just continued to do that wound up, you know, really succeeding. And so there is a benefit to that sometimes.
That's what they say.
You know.
The mold is always made to be broken, right?
Pardon?
The mold is always there to be broken, though.
I guess so, yeah, you know. Like, I think of some of my bandmates from when I was a kid, and they really just, you know, they were tuned into just one style, and they just kept doing it, and they wound up going big time, you know. And but, yeah, all molds are made to be broken, that's for sure.
So tell me, how many drum sets do you own?
Well, funny you should ask. I was real into the drum set stuff, the vintage drum kits. And there was a time a few years ago that I probably had 20 drum kits stacked up all over the house. Every kind of rare vintage drum set you could think of, I'd get them and I'd fix them up and find all the little parts and get everything perfect. And at some point I decided, you know, at the time I wasn't even playing drums. I'm not even playing drums much now, really. I play drums for Jim Morris, and really that's been about it lately, but not really drumming too much. I'd like to get back into it. But anyway, I had all these drum kits, and I decided, you know, I'm not getting to play them, and every one of these kits, you know, sets should be somebody's main set that they play every night. So I sold everything on eBay. And there's a little remorse there for some of them, you know, letting them go. But I just had too much stuff, you know, as Buffett says, you know, too much stuff. So, but that's a constant thing. I'm sure I'm not alone with that. It goes for whatever your passion is. You tend to maybe go a little too far.
Funny you should say that. Yeah, I do understand where you're coming from, because people know me as a steel pen player and a singer and a solo guy, and I have the band thing going on. But, you know, maybe you can identify with this. At one time, I had 13 drum sets, and at the time I was married, and my wife says to me, if you buy one more drum set, you're going to have to make a decision between the drum sets and me. Well, guess what? I'm not married.
Wow. I'm glad I never hit that obstacle, but you know, it did get crazy, and I still have a lot of stuff, and I still have some old kits and a whole garage/music studio full of stuff, you know, and then I got into guitars, and I did the same kind of thing with guitars. I was just getting too many guitars, and I decided, you know, I had a beautiful 71 Les Paul gold top that I played twice in 5 years. And I said, okay, that's going. And I just, you know, I'm just trying to get, you know, trying to narrow it down a little bit. But gear, you know, gear is fun. And it's definitely a passion, as you know.
I like that drum kit you had, that little, I don't know, you would know what it was. You were playing at the Highlands here in Jersey, and it was like a little box. You kind of folded it up into like a square. We put it in my trunk. Remember, we gave you a ride back up because Charlie's flight got messed up, and it was like
kit. That's known as the toaster oven. I played that on some gigs when I was at Disney. And one night we were doing a show, and I was playing that thing, and the guy turned around and said, "And Jimmy Pappas on toaster oven," and it just stuck. And I use that a lot with John Frenzy on a lot of live gigs. That's a Roland electronic SPD-20, they call that, and it's you can plug in all the assorted stuff and make it into a little drum kit, and that's a great thing. I remember one meeting of the minds, driving around with that thing on my back on a bicycle, just going everywhere, playing with everybody some years ago, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, you know, Jimmy, how many countries – I noticed that you've been able to travel around quite a bit. Did you ever get into any of the native percussion and drum kits from other places?
I did. Like, we went over to Ireland, you know, for the music festival there. I went with Charlie DeCosa and Brandy. And my wife Shelley, and we had a great time, and I came back with a Baudrin drum, and you know, and I have some some other stuff. I even have a really nice Tommy Reynolds pan that I haven't figured out yet. Maybe
wait
you'll
a
help
minute,
me.
You have a Tom? You know, oh wow, because I know someone else who has one of their pans as well. And wow, do you ever heard of? And you live in Orlando. Area, have you heard of Bickley Rivera?
I think I have. Yeah.
Yeah, she has a Reynolds pan.
Yeah, I mean, I have enough toys to keep me busy here, that music stuff that I haven't even, I mean, heck, I have digital recorders and stuff that I haven't even cracked the box on yet. I have so much stuff, it's ridiculous. So sometimes you just, you know, You do wind up with a lot of stuff, but I do like try to tune in on some of the stuff. I was down in Brazil, a lot of interesting stuff happening down there with percussion, and I've been to Australia, and there's some cool stuff out there, New Zealand, definitely like to pull stuff in from the world market. A little bit, you know.
Have you ever played a kalimba before?
Pardon?
Have you ever heard of or played a kalimba before?
No, I've never played a kalimba. A thumb piano type thing?
It's pretty much the size of like the smallest one is like the size of a coconut and has metal strands and you can play music and things from it. It's from India. People think it's from Africa, but it's from India, but it's a neat little thing. The only problem is playing live, you'd have a problem miking it up and everything. But
yeah. You know what? I do have one of those. I call it a thumb piano, but it's not something that is easy to tune. Even on my new CD, I have a song that I did on a dulcimer. And kind of like in an old Joni Mitchell style, you know, because she's used that a lot. And so I guess I'm a little in tune with the world stuff. And you know, I do put a lot of percussion on my my tunes. And so there's everything. There's all different kinds of stuff on there.
And the thing about the tunes, we're waiting for the servers of the radio server or a station to or network to get everything in a place where we can play more of your tunes. But I must tell you, I'm really fascinated by your songwriting. If anything that I really like about persons or musicians is songwriting. And I must tell you, just like even on Facebook on Sunday, I was just minding my own business, and all of a sudden I put in all your tunes, and I hadn't had a chance to really delve into it and hear it as much. I heard quite a few tunes, but then that day I put it all on. Next thing I know, on the iPod, Buffett comes up, and before I knew I was lost in the day. But I tell you, yeah, I really enjoy your songwriting.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, I'm not as much of a storyteller as some of my good friends here. You know, I go with a little bit more in the feeling of the song, but musically and lyrically. But, you know, I'm starting to get a nice little catalog, and I've been writing songs since I was a kid. I mean, I was singing lead on original music from behind a drum kit when I was, you know, 13 and 14 years old there in Kenilworth, New Jersey. You know, and, you know, I mean, I've been doing this my whole life. My dad was a full-time musician. And he played New York City a lot and the Waldorf Astoria and that kind of stuff. And then I had my bands as a kid in sixth and seventh grade. I remember being a kid in eighth grade there, getting to go over and play Earth Day in Manhattan in the Port Authority. It was a big deal, like in 73 or whatever, you know. Oh, I'm not that old, am I? And, you know, so I've been doing the – I kind of let the writing thing go when I got involved – I was drumming for Chubby Checker back in the early 90s and then wound up getting back into the Beatles thing. And I can go into a little bit more of that. But and then wound up coming down here to Florida just to do a 6 or 8 week gig at Disney at Epcot, kind of doing a Beatles British Invasion thing. I left Chubby for that summer because he was doing Grease on Broadway. And 12 years later, I was still there. Just doing the gig every day, you know, and I kind of got away from writing and everything for a while, and then kind of the whole Trop Rock thing kind of brought me back around to it, and I said, hey, you know, I have some stuff I could, you know, add to this Trop Rock scene, and that's how I got to where I'm at now. I'm real glad it happened.
I asked you a question, though. How was Meeting of the Minds this year for you? It was, by all accounts, this was one of the most wonderful Meeting of the Minds that people can remember in so long. How was the experience for you?
Meeting of the Minds this year, well, first of all, the weather could have not been more perfect after our rain out last year. And, you know, the weather affects everybody, you know, and it was just, every day was perfect. I had a great time. I got to do a bunch of solo things throughout the week. And, you know, I really, really had a great time. You know, you can't do enough while you're there. You're just running from one place to the next. And it was definitely, I'd say, one of the best ones ever. Have to be. With Bubba showing up and everything else, it was just incredible.
Yeah, I kind of wish that they had someone. Well, maybe there's a lot of footage out there and we don't know about yet, but it would be good if that. It was almost, I know they have chop stock and everything down in Florida every year, but by all accounts, this was an incredible Meeting of the Minds for people. And I hope there's footage and things that get spliced together at some point, if there's enough to do so.
Yeah, yeah, talking about that, I'm hoping to see Friday night at Meeting of the Minds, when John Patti and I were opening for the Jim Morris Band as our duo, Nadira Shakur came in and I got to sing a song with her. We did What's Going On, the old Motown tune. And I know there was a bunch of video rolling, and I was really hoping to see some clips from that, but I haven't, none have surfaced yet, you know. But, it, you know, it was definitely exciting. It was a great Meeting of the Minds. I don't think you can get much better. I don't know how they can top that one, you know.
I didn't catch you any of the solo stuff, but I saw you on one of the webcams. Webcams are fabulous down there. You guys, you were with Jim and the band from the Smoking Tuna Saloon one night, and it was a really good show. And it was the webcam was really good because it wasn't like the ones with the microphones close to the table, and you hear the bottles and the glasses clanking and the people talking. It was like watching a show on a closed circuit TV without the crowd noise.
Oh, it was the full band.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a Thursday night. Yeah, that was a rocking show. Yeah, it was, every night was good there. I can't think of anything bad to say about Meeting of the Minds. You know, I'd like to mention though, you know, our friend Ralph McDonald, who we just lost over this last week. You know, everybody's kind of remembering all the fun with the Reefers, and if you guys know, Ralph McDonald is the percussionist for the Reefers, and also an incredible songwriter who wrote Just the Two of Us, and I think he wrote Where is the Love.
Yes.
And the last time I got to be around him, around Ralph, was about a year, maybe about 2 years ago down here at Margaritaville. We did a show where it was Charlie DeCosa, myself, John Patti, Doyle Grisham, and John Frenzy on the porch of Margaritaville to kind of open up for the Acoustic Reefers doing a show inside with Mac McAnally and Nadira and Bobby G and Ralph. And that was just an exciting night. And Jimmy Buffett was there. He didn't sing, but he was there. And it was just, you know, so all the best to everybody, you know, with Ralph McDonald's family and everybody, all his friends, are just, you know, sending out good thoughts to all of them. And he's in a great place now, but he'll surely be missed.
Absolutely. And what a lot of people don't know is he got his start by just being in the right place at the right time, by just following a buddy to, it was his buddy or a cousin, he was going to the studio a lot when the great Clipsonian, Harry Belafonte, was in the studio. And one day he just proclaimed, oh, well, one of the guys, percussionist, didn't show up, and he says to Harry Belafonte, I can do it, I can do the job. And he ended up getting to play percussion, and he got the job. And he kept telling him, because his father was a Calypso performer for so many years, he had a great feeling, and maybe it was just in the genes, but that's how it got its start. And then as a producer, he ended up, and this is what I really like, Jimmy, he said, people asked why he kept the doors of his publishing company that he put together, but in fact, for 18 months, he said, you know what, this is going to happen or it isn't. And in New York, he bought an office, he rented out an office, and he locked the door. And people asked, why do you lock the door? He said, because songs are supposed to be going out, not coming in. And that's profound for me. And sure enough, within that 18 months, things started happening for him, and that started the whole vein of being a producer and a songwriter. And, yes, wow, he will be missed. It's one of those things for me. A lot of people may not know as much about Ralph McDonald, or it may not be as near and dear to their heart as perhaps you and myself and other trap rockers and people within this particular style of music or genre, but I remember, unfortunately, when I saw it first come across the wire, it just made me sit up for a moment, and I say, sail on, Ralph McDonald. You will be missed, and are already.
Yes, he will be missed. There's some amazing, you know, footage and stuff out there, and I was looking around at some old video. You know, YouTube is just a great thing. I mean, you you want to check out a song, you can check out all different versions of it. And I was checking out an old video of Just the Two of Us that with Grover Washington Jr. And it's a live shot on there. If you look for it on YouTube, it's a live concert from about 1982. And there's a guy playing incredible steel pans, and I didn't realize that it was Robert Greenwich. And it's
yes,
just, it was like, wow. You know, it was like, so, I mean, these guys have been doing it a long time, you know, and they're really something else, you know.
Yeah, and it, to be quite honest, this kind of thing about Greenwich and being in that particular video and playing for Grover Washington Jr., he caught a lot of flack, too. It's kind of like Phil Woods, who played saxophone on Just the Way You Are by Billy Joel. It's they kind of walked out of their vein into another, and here we are. A lot of people don't know that Phil Woods played saxophone on Just the Way We Are, and many people don't know that the steel pan player on Just the Two of Us, when they hear that wonderful sound from the islands, is actually Robert Greenwich. And I thank you for reminding everyone, all listeners, to know that that is the case.
Yeah, it's definitely a great thing to check out. I love the steel drums, and on this new CD of mine, I was lucky enough to have John Patti, who's got to be the, you know, the for a young guy such as himself, he's doing a great job. He played some wonderful pans on this CD for me. And then also Sonny Jim, James White, came into the studio and he played some great pans. So I was real lucky to have some good pans on this new CD, which really, you know, I kind of use I kind of use it in the wall of sound a little bit, you know, just to fill it all up. Yeah. And but John takes some incredible solos, and I some of the things I put together specifically for John, we're very tight now with being the rhythm section in the Jim Morris band. I put some stuff together and I said, John, here, this is for you. You just go over this. However, whatever you want to do, it's all yours, you know. And man, he really gets creative. You know, it's great. John Patti, he's wonderful.
We're going to have to get him on the show. A good friend of mine, Todd Donnelly from the Mr. Myers Band, he suggested that I get John Patti on, and we'll do that one day. In fact, we might have to, just in case we have to have a show with a bunch of artists and things on, we might just do that. But you know what? I was thinking, we've been on for 27 minutes now, and we haven't had a chance to play much new music. So what I want to do is I'm going to start off with a little one called Island Style. So tell me, when you came up with Island Style, where were you and what was your influence for writing that tune?
Well, I'll tell you about Island Style. I didn't write Island Style. Style is a wonderful song that I covered by one of my favorite artists, John Cruz, C-R-U-Z, from Hawaii. He's part of the Cruz family, which has been playing Hawaiian music over there for years, his dad and his brothers. And that's the song I just latched on to. The way that song came about was we were doing the three J's, kind of, you know, Jim Morris, Sonny Jim, and John Frenzy up front with me back in the rhythm section with John Patti and Doyle and, like, a big group. And those guys would say, hey, Jimmy, come up and do something up front, you know. And I'm saying, well, I can't do any of my songs because I have a bad way of putting too many chords and making my songs too complicated. You know, so I said, well, here's an easy tune we can do. And after I did it a few times, I had people saying, you know, if you record that, we'd like to hear that on your next CD. So that's how it happened. And that on the track you're gonna play, it's really just me and Sonny Jim. It's just me on bass and acoustic guitar and Sonny Jim on acoustic guitar and a little pans, and that's it.
And here we are. You're listening to Ship Shore Radio and our very special guest. This is Captain Frankenstein with trusty first mate Ken and Jimmy Pappas, and you're about to listen to Allen Style, which was prefaced by Quite a Great Story.
We do it island style. Like me, and I wish that I was there. I'm a lonely lighthouse, not a ship out in the night. Watching the sea, she's come halfway round the world to see the light, to stay away from me. There is a shipwreck lying at my feet. Some weary refugee from the rolling deep. Oh, you could lose it all and fall for me. Couldn't we shine just one more time? I'd like to shine like the sun for one more summer day. I'd like to shine like the lighthouse for one more summer night. Flashing on, flashing on, you're lost and lonely and don't know where to go, and you hear this song on the radio, or even if you're feeling healthy and strong, you might like to sing along. Just because I might be standing here, that don't mean I won't be wrong this time. Oh, you could follow me and lose your mind. Could we shine just one more time? I'd like to shine like the sun. One more summer day. I'd like to shine like the lighthouse. One more summer night. Flashing on, flashing on, fading away. Off the coast of Africa, bound for South America, a world away from here. Is a ship that sails the sea, is a man who's just like me, and I wish that I was there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd like to shine like the sun for one more summer day. I'd like to shine like the lighthouse for one more summer night. Flashing on, flashing on, fading away.
You're listening to Ship and Shore Radio with Captain Frank and Dredd.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. This is Captain Frank and Dredd with Trusty First Mate Canada. Very special guest this evening, Jimmy Pappas from Orlando, Florida. And lurking in the background is Evil Rob, who is just getting the liquid refreshment ready for everyone for Dredded Sports Talk, which will be coming on in about 20 minutes after, which Jim will be also a part of. And we were just listening to a couple of great tunes. We were listening to Island Style, a cover that he was mentioning the story behind. And if you were just tuning in, which I just made sure that everyone in the Twitterverse and also Facebook were aware that we're broadcasting live, just in case you've been under a rock the last 24 hours. Wanted to know that Jimmy Pappas, yes, indeed, is live and direct on Ship to Shore Radio. And as everyone knows, not only have you seen him playing drums right now with Jim Morris and the Big Bamboo Band, but he's also a really good songwriter in his own right, although he likes to say that he focuses on the music more so and doesn't tell as many stories as a lot of the others. Maybe he does. Maybe that means that he's not making up a lot of stuff either. But just the same, Jimmy, once again, thank you so much for being on the CD.
I like how you're projecting it out there, but
well, there's got to be a nice story behind watermelons, I would think.
Well, watermelons, yeah, that's on the new CD too. That song was done last January, and I thought I was going to have this new CD done by May or June, the latest. And of course, it took longer than I thought. I didn't get it done until just before Meeting of the Minds, because I really had to have it by then. People would have not been happy. And watermelons kind of came, I'll tell you real quick about it. I don't know if you might get to play it later or not, but it's probably the most popular song on the CD because it's been hanging around for almost a year already. We're down here in Orlando, Florida, which was 80 degrees today. My wife, Shelley, and I have a little cottage up in a town called Mount Dora, which is about 45 minutes north of Orlando. And it's a little artsy town with a lot of antiques and that kind of stuff, built on a lake, Mount Dora, Florida, beautiful place. So I drive back and forth, you know, from there to our house in Orlando constantly on old Route 41. And there's a lot of old fruit stands and this and that. And I'm driving one day. I always write a song driving back and forth from Mount Dora to Orlando, and I saw these signs that said watermelons, and I said, oh, there's a song right there. And I had another idea for another concept for a whole different song called Two for One. Matter of fact, the CD, this newest CD, which is called Hello, Mr. Sunshine, originally was going to be called Two for One, and it was going to be kind of a happy hour thing, you know, drinks, two for one, and it was also going to be Two for One with the heart, you know, from a relationship. And so I had that, and then the watermelons thing happened, and it just worked together. So that's how that song happened, watermelons. And the chorus is all the signs say two for one, because I was looking at these watermelon signs on the side of the road. And I don't know where these songs come from, but when they happen, it's a good thing. I'm glad they're still happening.
I did catch the little thing at the end of Island Style. At the end of Watermelons on that version Espinette, you play that little riff at the end, and you go, I could play this over anything. And I noticed you kind of do that quickly at the end of Island Style, and you go, see?
Well, you know, what happened with that, that's actually, I was playing a banjo track in the studio, and I was playing that riff over the song Watermelons, and it was an overdub thing, and I was talking to the engineer, my engineer, Frank Starchak, from Deltona Records in Deltona, Florida, which is my favorite studio in the whole world. And I was talking to him. I said, yeah, I can play this over. Look, I can do this here, and I can do it here, you know. And then he had that there, and he goes, you know, you should just leave that on there. So we left it at the end of the song. Everybody thought it was funny. It's not on the CD. It's only on the single version on iTunes now, the end part where I talk about the banjo riff. And for some, you know, I don't know how that wound up way in the background on Island Style. Frank was messing around, and he's the genius engineer, and he was, you know, saying, what if we put this over here, you know, and just fooling around. And we said, yeah, let's just put it in the background. So it was just a little nod to the people who had heard that version of Watermelons when it just keeps going and I just keep playing the banjo. I guess you have to know the song. I don't know what I'm even talking about. It's okay. Man, you know the song, so I'm like.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. I have a question for you. The tune that I played after Island Style, Lighthouse. Tell me a little bit about that tune.
Okay, Lighthouse is a James Taylor song. And on my other two CDs, I covered a James Taylor song on each one of the other CDs. And, you know, Lighthouse is just, you know, one I always loved. And I just, you know, figured, well, you know, I'm kind of known... I'm known to come from the James, with the acoustic guitar, I kind of come from the James Taylor end of things. You know, that was one of my big influences on the acoustic side, you know, so anyway, on that tune, that's Michelle Becker, from Tom and Michelle Becker, a great duo, Latitude, from South Carolina. Tom and Michelle Becker, that's Michelle Becker singing all that background vocals on there. And the other thing, which has nothing to do with the song, but I also play lead acoustic guitar for Tom and Michelle. Tom Becker does a wonderful tribute theater show to the music of John Denver.
John Denver, yes. Yes, they were on the show before.
And I'm also the lead guitar player in that. I mean, before we were talking about spreading yourself thin. So we have a bunch of theater shows coming up this right early this next year. Of course, we'll have to pull it back together, but he just does an incredible show of John Denver's music. I always liked John Denver, but I was never really a huge John Denver fan. And when we put this together, after we did the first concert, I walked out of there. I was like, wow. I mean, I'm going to say that Tom Becker does a John Denver show like Springsteen. I mean, he leaves it all on the stage, you know, every time. So it's a lot of fun. That's Michelle singing on there, Lighthouse, but it's by James Taylor, an old song by him from about 74 or something. And, so that was two covers right there. but that's okay, because, you know, I have three covers on this new CD. Island Style by John Cruise, Chevy Van, which was by Sammy John, and then Elusive Butterfly by Bobby Lind, which was a song that John Patti plays some incredible pans on. And that was a song I remember waking up as a kid, you know, just as you got out of school for summer, and just remember waking up like on the beginning of summer and just feeling this euphoric feeling that, you know, summer's going to last for the next 10 years. And I used to go to sleep with an AM radio in my bed, you know, and I remember waking up to that. So I just covered it, you know. So I covered a few tunes. But the rest of the stuff is original. And my next CD, I think I'm probably just going to do all original, because it's a hassle to cover songs. You know, you have to get the licensing and all the rights for it, and you know. And so I think next time I'm just going to go for it, you know. But you never know.
You also have a nice CD. It's a solo live from the Navigator with a mixture of stuff on it. It's called Mellow Sunday Morning. I picked that up down at Red, White, and Tunes. It's really, really good. You do covers,
yeah, that,
and do
that,
some of your own, and it's a good mixture.
That CD, I kind of did that CD because I wasn't getting this other, the CD with Watermelons on it, the new one, I wasn't getting it done. And I was like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to have this done, so I need to do something. So we recorded a live CD at the Navigator. The wonderful Shelley Speckman came with her recording gear and recorded it. And we just, you know, I figured a lot of times people would say, hey, do you have a CD of the cover tunes you do? You know, because on my solo acoustic shows, I do a lot of different stuff that a lot of the other trop guys don't do. I don't really do a lot of Buffett. You know, I kind of do a big variety of stuff. So, yeah, it's a fun CD. Came out all right.
Yeah, it's really nice. We picked it up this summer when you had it at Red, White, and Tunes. In fact, my wife even got you to sign. You and Shelley both signed it.
Oh, that's great. There you go. Well, I have a question for you. Okay.
No, it's the excitement that I have of, again, the music that at Sunday I really spent a lot of time delving into your music. I want to play another one because I don't want to run out of time before we go into the next program, but how about A Little Something Wild? What can you tell me about that one? I'm sure it's not a cover.
Now, A Little Something Wild, I'll tell you how that one happened, and it happened real quick. again, I was up in my little town, Mount Dora, and I came downstairs from the little place I was playing. I sat at the bar, and on the chalkboard behind the bar was kind of half erased. I said, "What does that say?" And they said, "That Little Something Wild." I said, "Really?" I go, "What is that?" I go, it's a microbrewery beer out of California. That's what Little Something Wild is. I had never heard of it. And I was like, Little Something Wild. I said, that's definitely a song. And again, as I was driving back home to Orlando from Mount Dora, by the time I got home, I had that song. And I kind of turned it into, it's kind of like a little thing about of course, it turned into a girl. And I guess she's kind of like, a rock star's daughter, you know? Maybe something like that, or maybe somebody I met out in the Midwest once. I'm not sure, but that's the beauty of a song. You don't really have to explain exactly where it came from, because sometimes you're not sure. It comes from a few different things, you know.
Exactly. I think it's just good music, Jimmy, and I'm going to share it with our listeners. You're listening to Ship the Shore Radio with Captain Frank and Dredd and trusty first mate Ken with our very special guest, Jimmy Pappas, and this little one's called Little Something Wild. And thanks for listening.
Little something wild, you got a taste like sunshine.
Yes, this is Ship to Shore Radio. This is Captain Frank and Dread with Trusty First Mate Ken and our very special guest, Jimmy Pappas. So we've been playing some tunes of his and having some great conversation and talking about all kinds of things. And just in case you think you're not getting enough, right at the 9 o'clock hour Eastern Standard Time, which would be 8 o'clock. No, you know what? I don't even like to give all the time zones because if you guys didn't know it, this program rebroadcasts in Italy and also in England. And if you look at the Ship to Shore link on Facebook, it'll tell you when you can hear this program if you just tuned in. It'll be on speaker.com and also 1000mics.com. But right now, you're listening to Ship to Shore Radio, which its rumors were all lies. We wouldn't bother to tell them. The rumor is that Ship to Shore Radio is going 24 hours. The truth of the matter is Ship to Shore Radio is going 24 hours. But right now, in this particular time, in this hour and time, we have Jimmy Pappas on. And Jimmy, I want people to know where they can find all of your tunes and everything about you on the internet. And you said during the break in the green room that they can pretty much just go to Jimmy Pappas Music. It's plain and simple. Is that the best place for them to go?
Yeah, it's a good thing. Go to my website, which is jimmypappas.com. And it's J-I-M-I-P-A-P-P-A-S. .com. If you go there and you click on music, that'll bring you to CD Baby, which you can download or buy my CDs. Also, everything I have is available on iTunes. Just go to iTunes Power Search and put in Jimmy Pappas. Also, it's all over the place, but the easiest thing is just go to the website or go to iTunes.
They can find it at Beachfront also.
Beachfront Radio has a thing called the Music Hut, which is their download store, and you can go there, beachfrontradio.com, and get from them, from Jeff. I think the easiest thing to do is probably just go to my website and say hello. You know, come check it out.
We're going to do that, and we're working on having DJ Jeff Allen also on the show. And so I can tell you it's quite all right if you mention Beachfront Radio on this particular station. Just don't mention Key West Show. That's quite all right.
Well, I'm going to be seeing Jeff and Carol from Beachfront soon because I'm going to be seeing them for New Year's, Tropstock New Year's down here in Cocoa Beach. I'm going to be opening up for the great band from Knoxville called Homemade Wine on Friday, December 30th. Not New Year's Eve, the night before. New Year's Eve, I'm going to stay close to home and play a nice little wine bar right around the corner from my house. I've learned over the years what to do with New Year's Eve. But we could talk about some other stuff real quick, if you'd like to, about a little bit more about the music.
Yes, indeed.
I know we were talking before in the green room about my Beatles experiences and... I'll let everybody know how that happened. Back in 1977-78, there was a Broadway show called Beatlemania. That was one of the first impersonator type shows that really ever happened. And as a kid, I could have went and auditioned for it, but at the time, I thought it was a terrible idea. I thought, you mean these guys are going to get up there and make believe it's the Beatles? How dare they, you know? And I mean, Elvis had just died in 77. There was no such thing as impersonators and tribute artists and all that. And but who, you know, I wouldn't have thought that by about 83, 84, you know, I knew a lot of the guys in the New York show, and I wound up jumping in and starting to do the tours and the theaters and everything else. And And that led me, you know, really to do, I mean, of course, I always loved the Beatles music. And I said, well, if I'm going to play in a cover band, I might as well be playing good songs. So that's how that all happened. That's how that happened. And then I kind of left the Beatle thing for a while. And I was, like I said before, I was playing drums for Chubby Checker out of Philly. We were doing the Twist all over the world. And some of the guys I had done it with said, hey, we got a little six-week thing down here at Epcot. Would you want to come down and just do this little summer? And I said, yeah. And then, you know, almost 12 years later, I was still there doing it. I probably, I did it for as long as I wanted. It's not there anymore. I left, and then it kind of crumbled. But it was a great, fun thing. It got me established in Florida, and I've met everybody that I'm doing everything now with. So, I mean, every path that you take is for a reason, and I'm so happy I took that one, you know, because it got me down here and to where I am now doing everything with all the great people that I'm getting to work with now.
Everything has their purpose, and the purpose of the whole situation right now is to remind everyone that Jimmy will be carrying on with us into a different studio in about 12 seconds. So I must say, it is time for us now to switch studios. Thanks for listening to the Ship to Shore Radio. You've been listening to Captain Frank and Joe with Trusty First Mate Camp from Jersey and our very special guest, Jimmy Pappas. We'll catch you guys on the other side. Hang on right here, man.
Dreaded sports talk.
Dreaded Sports Talk Network.
Yes, this is the Dreaded Sports Talk. It's time, everyone. Welcome to Dreaded Sports Talk. This is Captain Frank and Dread with Trusty First Mate Ken and also Evil Rob. And our very special guest hanging out for us a little while longer this evening. Yes, you heard him a little bit on the Ship Ashore, the Captain Frank and Dread show. We're talking about Jimmy Pappas, former Orlando. How are you doing, Jimmy?
Very, very good down here. Very good.
Wasn't that quite an easy switch right over from studio to studio? All you have...
You just had to walk right across the hall.
Hopefully you're not out of breath there, Jimmy.
It's good to have you here, but I just got to, right off the bat, I'm going to play a little tune by yours called Let It Slip, and then we'll let you talk a little bit about the tune when we get back, and then right to it, we're going to talk about sports a little bit, just a little bit, and the fact that you're living in Orlando, I'm going to have a couple questions for you. But in the meantime, thanks for listening to Dreaded Sports Talk, my very special guest, Jimmy Pappas from Orlando, Florida.
The day go by. Yeah, I think I let the day just slip away. Think I head out towards the water and watch it fade into the sky. Yeah, I think I let the day go by. Now there's not a day I don't how it feels to be inside your arms. Think I
head out towards the water, let it slip away. Yeah, I think I let the day go by. I think I let the day go by.
Jimmy Pappas from Orlando, Florida, and you're listening to Dreaded Sports Talk right here on Ship to Shore Radio. Wow, wow, wow. You know, going into this sports thing, I didn't think you realized you were going to get in a position to talk about sports this evening, too, on top of the wonderful music that you play, did you?
Well, thanks, Captain. I didn't know you were going to play that tune. Thanks for playing that song. I let it slip away. You know, that's a good thing to do on a Sunday and just, you know, watch football all day. You know, it's like, you know, it works anyway, you know. We can talk some sports down here, a little Orlando stuff, and quite an exciting week in football, that's for sure. So, of course, basketball starting up. So you guys got your hands full.
Well, yeah, and I'm glad you're here to talk about the Orlando situation will be coming up later. But let me tell you what the captain has on his mind. Everybody knows Sunday was Sunday Bloody Sunday, and I'm not talking about a U2 tune. There were so many things that happened. First, the Kansas City Chiefs, they put a whipping on the Packers, okay? I don't know what to tell you except that they just simply lost. And the G-Man, wow, really? Wow, they're so inconsistent, I don't even know what to say for them, but so many crazy things happened, like Indianapolis winning. Everyone knows all those things, but let me tell you something that you better think about, and that's the fact that Tim Tebow did not build himself up. Here is a young man who's just trying to play ball. He's a baller. He's a player, okay? He's still a virgin, so that means that he's not that kind of a player. But the whole bottom line is, with Tim Tebow, the media has definitely built him up. Built him up so that the only thing he can do is to show up and work every day and get better and just do the best he can. Luckily enough, he's very humble. They're even talking about having superheroes out there. And it's really? Really? Everybody knows that probably Batman's going to die in the next movie, so don't build a man up so that he can fall down. Don't put him on a pedestal and cut the legs from underneath him. Just let the man play and realize that football is just a game. It really is. And I knew that the Patriots weren't going to allow the Broncos to win, it's a good thing, because otherwise every single solitary highway would have been filled up with people trying to run the church if he somehow beat the Patriots. That didn't happen, and we can't go any further on that. But that's what the captain's thinking about. Are you on board, Evil One? Are you with us?
Well, I'm on board with you down here in Orlando. I'm from a Gators house here. My wife is a Gator, and I saw Tebow play many times. You gotta be with somebody. But I did get to see Tebow play at the Swamp when they were, back when he was coming in just for the running plays. And it was amazing to watch him. It looked like he was running in slow motion, but somehow he'd get a touchdown from 5 yards out. I don't know how that happened. But I do agree down here with the whole Tebow hype. I mean, let's face it, the media is going to take anything they can take and run with it, And, Tebow didn't win any of those games single-handedly. And then some of them, they just barely pulled them out. But he's got heart, and if he can keep passing better, he's looking good. He's doing as good or better than some of the other young quarterbacks that are out there. So,
I guess the bottom line is if you win, I guess it doesn't matter how you do it as long as you win, but some of the people get a little too carried away with them, I thought. But I saw a really funny skit on Saturday Night Live. I don't know if anybody caught that. I don't usually watch Saturday Night Live. I haven't watched that in about 20 years, but somebody posted the YouTube video on Facebook, and it was a riot.
Well, you're talking about that the Jesus clip? That was hysterical.
Yeah, the media, that's for people who don't even know anything about football. That's for, like they mentioned that. That's just that whole hype thing and everything. They need something to go with, and they went with it. But actually, this last week in football was a great thing because, water finds its correct level. And with the Packers losing, especially to the Chiefs. I didn't think that would happen. I thought maybe Oakland was going to get them, but they didn't. Giants almost did. And so with them losing and Indy at least winning one, and Denver not winning, I think it really, the field is even again now, and it's more exciting, actually.
That division is crazy now because the teams you thought would win didn't, and you didn't figure the Chargers were going to beat the Ravens, and they crushed them. So that division, the Chiefs actually have a chance to still win that division. That's
anybody has a chance to win that division.
Yeah, 2 weeks left, and it could be anybody. Any of them teams could win it.
And that's what I'm saying. It's more exciting after this week, and that's a great thing. That's one of the great things about football.
Christmas Eve Giant Jet game up here.
Wow, that's going to be exciting. Yeah. Are you going to be there live?
No. I got an issue with the family. We go to church. We're working on that. We're going to be at church late, I think.
Can you make the game and then hit midnight mass?
I tell my wife I'm trying to find an online Christmas Eve mass. We could kind of put the computer on one side of the room and.
the Jets.
Or you can just find an online Christmas Eve game that you can put on while you're in church and bring a laptop with you.
Yeah.
The Jets, let me ask you guys, or everybody, are the Jets the only team without their own stadium?
Yes. I feel bad when I'd
go to a Jets game and they'd cover over the Giants stuff with green Jets things. I'd be like, they're the only, they're like a refugee. They don't have their own stadium. Are there any plans for the Jets to have their own place?
No. I think they put all the financing into that with those PSLs, the seat licenses, and that all went into the financing of the stadium. They're there for a while now. They changed the name to MetLife Stadium, so at least it takes the Giant name off it, but it's still... I don't know very few people that call it MetLife Stadium. People still call it the Meadowlands or Giant Stadium. It's going to be, it's been there for so long.
Up here, it's now the new giant stadium. And the only reason why it was built, and I hate to admit this, being a Giants fan, is that the Jets put their money into it as well. The whole Hess deal and everything with the Jets, they put a ton of money in, and if it was not for the Jets, the stadium would not have been built. But at the same time, it still is Giant Stadium. It's a new Giant Stadium, and like you said, Jimmy, the Jets are still the redheaded stepchild of New Jersey.
You know, that's always been a – I've always felt that way, and I remember going to Jet games back in the day when it was really tough to be a Jet fan. I got to go to some good games. I got to go to the Silverdome and see the Jets play Detroit back in the Ken O'Brien days. And the only guy with a Jet shirt up in Detroit, and it was fun. I mean, and the Jets were really kicking the first half, and everybody was booing me, and it was so much fun. And then, of course, their great running back then just took us apart in the second half. But, I mean, I remember, you know, some of those Jet games, it's like these guys need their own stadium, you know, playing at Giants Stadium, it was tough. And also way back when the Jets were first going to go to Jersey, people out in New York were not happy.
No,
you know,
not at all.
They said, well, we're not driving to Jersey. You know, this is the New York Jets. And so there was a definite loss out there, you know, out on the island and Shea and all that. You know.
Yeah, you know what, though, the Jets fans, well, how did you feel about the fact that they brought – Rex Ryan in as a coach and his big mouth and how that's all going on. What do you think of Rex?
Personally, well, when they did Hard Knocks, the TV show, you know, I didn't feel good about him. You know, I honestly, for me, I was like, I'm not feeling it with him. I just, you know, after watching Hard Knocks that 2 years ago, was it?
2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, I just felt like I'm not seeing it, you know. I mean, it's like you said, it might have just been a little bit too much, you know, a little bit too much mouth, and you know that's a tough thing to do, though. I'm sure that whole pregame show. I wouldn't want to be a team on that had to do that Hard Knocks thing. It didn't work for Kansas City either, you know.
They're doing something similar now with the NHL, with the Rangers and the Flyers leading up to the Winter Classic. They're having the HBO special where they go in the locker room. It's the same thing as Hard Knocks. They just call it something different because it's hockey now.
Are you familiar with a show there called Giants Today, a weekly show?
It's on I've seen bits and pieces of it. It's on MSG or Yes or one of them. Yeah,
SNY.
SNY, okay.
My niece's husband, Carl DeCara, it's Carl Del Piano. He's gotten a sports Emmy for that show. He does all the sound for that program up there, and you know, he's a huge Giant. He's actually a Giant fan, but he's really a bigger Packers fan. And he's a musician too over all these years, and the Giants knew that. You know, he's a huge Packers fan, so he got to fly with the team up to Lambeau and work the sidelines for one game. He had to wear a suit and tie and everything. This guy's got, like, hair halfway. You know, he's like a rock and roll dude. You know? And he said being on the sidelines, it was just like it was the most insane thing he's ever done. It was just like people screaming at each other. It was just like – it was just panic the whole time. He had no idea what it was like to really be in the pit, you know. And it was an amazing story that he told about that, you know, getting to be work the sidelines. It's just like assisting with little things, this and that, you know. Just how crazy it is at an NFL
game.
Yeah,
I worked down moment. The sidelines for many games, and it is absolutely incredible. And the sound clips that you pick up, you would never imagine anybody even saying, and three-quarters of them cannot be broadcast on the air. That's why there's such a delay in sideline reporting, because they have to edit the clips out, and they have to figure out what can actually be put on the air. It's crazy.
He said he was shaking in his boots. He was so scared on the sideline. He was just like, he couldn't believe what was going on around him. He thought he was...
it was just mayhem, you know.
Not to mention, I consider myself a big guy. I'm 6'1", 190 pounds. I consider myself a decent-sized guy. I go on the sidelines, and I feel like I'm a midget.
Yeah, those are some big guys.
You know, these guys are like 6'4", 208 pounds, and they run a 3.440. Come on.
did the report come out about last night's Monday night game, San Francisco and Pittsburgh? I mean, that has to be a first with a blackout.
No, it's not the first of blackout, but it is the first on Monday night.
They got the power back on. They caught it on tape. They had like the aerial view of the stadium, and toward the bottom left, you could see the transformer explode and the stadium go dark.
Oh,
yeah,
so
it actually blew twice. Well, supposedly there was an accident that happened probably about a quarter mile away. That car hit a telephone pole and blew the original transformer, which is why you saw a small flash. Then, about 10 seconds later, you saw a huge flash. Then the stadium went completely dark.
And poor San Francisco. I mean, you know.
Yeah, the first thing they thought of was the earthquake from
the
baseball game back, you know.
Yeah, I mean, especially from the aerial view, the first thing you think is, uh-oh, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, but that was quite a game last night, you know, unexpected routing of Pittsburgh. But anyway, I'm down here in Orlando. All we have is the Magic. We're glad that basketball is going to start up again. Down here in this little town, Orlando's a little town, other than the 1 million tourists that are here on a daily basis. We found out about that back the week after 9/11 when there was no tourists. And you'd be surprised what a sleepy little town this is without that extra million people. And with the Magic here, they figured, and here in Orlando, and this is just Orlando news, if the season didn't happen, Orlando, the city, and this is the people who work at the stadium and everything around the stadium and everybody affiliated with it, the bars, restaurants, it was going to be an 80 million at least loss. And so we're very glad for the city here that the basketball is back.
Now,
people don't realize how much the sports brings into these towns. I know in Fort Myers, just for spring training, for the month that they do spring training with the Twins and the Sox, brings in almost $40 million in revenue between whatever taxes they charge, the hotels, the restaurants, like you say, all the extras that people don't really count on. $40 million in a little over a month between the two teams.
Yeah, so there's a lot of money out there. That's another thing we could rant about, but I don't know if we want to.
The question I have for you is this.
Okay.
You said there was like $80 million in just the Orlando Magic revenue from the games right there for that one little bit of the season. What would be like if, for some reason, to the Orlando community, being that you're there, if the NBA strike continued and there was no season whatsoever, detrimental would that be to the community itself? Not to the team, but to the community.
Well, that's what they were saying. I mean, there's these big restaurants, and we just built this new Amway Center Arena, and which, you know, a lot of people weren't for, and some were for it, but that's always the case. And all the restaurants and all of the stuff all around there just sitting there closed, dead. I mean, it would have been very, very bad for the city. You know, I mean, the tourist industry down here goes on no matter what. But the city, you know, it would have been very, very bad, very bad. You know, especially with the brand-new arena.
Yeah, what about Dwight Howard? Now, I know Ken's not a big basketball guy, but I have to ask about this. Dwight Howard. Granted, I knew you were coming on the show this week, so I have the second overall pick in my basketball fantasy draft. I took him second overall, only because there aren't too many centers that are as dominant as him. But, and you were a big part of that just because I could say, hey, Jimmy, I did this for you. But if Dwight Howard gets traded from Orlando, is that going to what do you think of the area? Is that going to kill the whole local vibe of the team, or do you think they know that it's a rebuilding time and they're going to go on?
As far as attendance and whatnot, I think they'll hold on fine. I mean, you know, it's not a one-man team. And, you know, there's been some exciting times down here with the Magic when literally you couldn't even get into a sports bar. When the Magic were in the playoffs, I mean, you couldn't even get near these places. I mean, so, as long as they can keep playing, I think a 50-game season is a great idea. You know, I mean,
so do I. I like that. You got so many older players that are just not going to get injured this year. You know, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett. You don't have to worry about them.
But they did say that with this compact schedule, the Knicks are going to be playing like 3 games in 4 days. They got a stretch; they play 4 and 4. You know, there's older guys that are going to be able to go 3 out of 4 with that very little, basically no rest time.
Well, that's true. I mean, but maybe there's just too many games anyway, you know, but I don't know.
Well, the NHL did that with their strike years back. They had a shortened season, but it kind of took away from the season a little bit. It was more like a tournament. They played like 40 games, and it didn't have the same impact. That was the, in fact, that was the year after the Rangers won. The Devils won. People say the Devils won the Stanley Cup. They go, no, they won the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's unfortunate, but and this is one of the other rants that people are talking about down here, and it's starting to lose its starting to, and I never talk about politics or anything else, but it's starting to lose a little firepower now. But this whole Occupy, I call it Occupy this, the whole occupying thing. Which, you know, I mean, they're doing it everywhere, and down here it was just, you know, kids hanging out in the park. I mean, they had no idea why they were even there.
That's what it is all over.
But part of it was, you know, they were saying, well, you know, what are they really protesting and this and that? Well, people who are making too much money or big banks that are making money. Well, they're not protesting sports guys that are making 20, 30 million a year. How come they're not protesting them, you know? And it's just like, I don't know, there's a lot of stuff flying around down here, you know, in this little town.
Yeah. Well, you guys know where the original Occupy came from, right? It was from Detroit, when they used to throw Occupy onto the ice.
Yeah.
That's right.
I like that.
The Red Wings would score a goal in the playoffs.
Octopus Pie.
I've already been blocked from three Occupy pages on Facebook, so I don't get into that no more.
And the reason why the Occupy were throwing the ice, do any of you know this? Any of the three of you know this?
No, I don't know.
Because
what was the original?
In the original NHL, when the Red Wings were there, it took 8 games to win the NHL title in the playoffs. And there's 8 legs on an octopus. They would throw the octopus on the ice every time the Red Wings would win a game originally, because that was one more win. That was it.
That got crazy for a while. You know, that stuff was all over the ice.
Yeah, so the NHL got into the whole NFL mode and tried to kill the fun, and next thing you know, there's no more octopus thrown on the ice.
No, it's like
quick
Jersey,
hockey,
I mean,
the Rangers just beat New Jersey's other redhead stepchild. That's now the Devils, 4-1. So now
nice.
I have fun on Facebook.
4-1. Last time I saw it was 2-1. Holy shit!
They got a goal in an empty net.
Where else can you go but Jersey, where you're going to get, you know, in an ice ball fight at a football game?
Yeah.
When did that happen? Was that a Giants game?
Yeah, Giants in San Diego. Somebody threw an ice ball, hit the guy, and then the part about that is the guy who threw the ice ball, he was there basically, he had a buddy tickets, season ticket. So that, not only did he have the legal troubles, the guy who had the season tickets, probably had him in his family forever, lost the tickets, because he's responsible for whatever that guy does with his ticket.
But weren't there like 10,000 people throwing snowballs at each other?
They caught one guy who hit the guy and then he like damaged his eye. Like the guy who really got hurt, they actually caught the guy who threw that snowball or ice ball. And I was at the Jet game years ago. My buddy had season tickets when we would go. It was the Monday night game against Buffalo on Halloween night. And it was like the Wild West. They were lighting fires up in the third tier. They were throwing things. That was the game, actually, where they, right after that, where they changed all the beer rules, where they stopped selling beer throughout the game. They don't sell beer on Monday night. And now at the other games, they stop it at halftime. It was like, it was unbelievable. We left at halftime. It was 35-0. But it actually wasn't safe. There were things flying around. It was the craziest game I've ever been at.
And, you know, I've been to some Jet games, like I said, back in the old days there when, you know, Jets weren't doing too good and there was a lot of tempers flying and, you know, and there was a lot of mayhem in the stands, people getting kicked out, fighting, whatever. I mean, people don't know what it's like, you know, down here, what the fans are really like. I mean, and I'm not saying it's good to go crazy like that, but, I mean, That looked like an Ozzy Osbourne concert I went to at the Brendan Byrne Arena one.
Yeah.
Ozzy came out and said, tear the house down, and the people took the seats. Somehow they took the seat, this bottom of the seats, and they threw them. And there was like 20,000 seat cushions going in the air, and me and my friend had to run into a tunnel, you know, because it was like, this place is out of control, you know.
It's different up here.
The only thing that was the problem was there was no rat heads flying.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Jersey. I mean, you know, down here, I mean, the fans, you know, like even here at Magic, you know, it doesn't have the same feeling as the places, you know, especially up north, you know, where the fans, you know, and that goes for any sport, you know, are just really dedicated. They've been season ticket holders for generations, and it's a different kind of a feeling. You know, I guess that's why LA doesn't have a football team. I'm not sure. You know,
well, when I wear my twins,
LA does have a football team, but you know the whole reason why LA does not like truly have a football team, it's because they're really not close to a beach.
Thanks for listening to Dreaded Sports Talk on the Dreaded Sports Talk Network.
Today, I'm going to the beach. It's a sunny day and I'm on my way and I love to feel the heat. See palm trees and coconuts, get the sand in my feet.
Yeah, that was Chris Ream, actually, our good friend from Key West, Florida, and his promo for the show, you were hearing a tune called The Beach. And I tell you, man, all the tropical music, things like that, it just reminds me also of the wonderful tropical music that you're breaking down and sharing with everyone. There's an old saying, the Judge Milian on television, she says, are you picking up what I'm putting down? She always has to say. So I will say that even though this is a cover, I liked your rendition, and I'd like to put down a little something island style from our very special guest, Jimmy Pappas, right here in Dreaded Sports Talk, and we'll be right back. Thanks for listening.
On the island, we do it island style.
from the windward to the leeward side.
Dreaded Sports Talk on the Dreaded Sports Talk Network.
To sing along on the Dreaded Sports Network, and you're listening to Captain Frank and Dread along with Trusty First Mate Ken and Evil Rob and our very special guest Jimmy Pappas. And just to let you guys know, you can go to Jimmy Pappas music.com and check everything out, and make sure that you do so, because he has some wonderful music and a lot of things going on. And Jimmy, where are you going to be playing this week or coming up in the next couple of weeks so everyone can catch you?
Well, let's see. Well, this week, taking it a little easy, but some of the trop rock things I have coming up, the bigger stuff, is, of course, Trop Stock New Year's Eve coming up in Cocoa Village, Cocoa Beach out there. I'm going to be opening up for Homemade Wine from Knoxville on December 30th. And then there's a few other festivals I'm going to be doing coming up. I'm going to be doing Stars Fell on Alabama in March over the St. Patty's Day weekend with Jim Morris as a trio and also some solo gigs. I'm also going to be doing a thing out in St. Louis called Flipper Stock, where I'm going to be the drummer in the All-Star Band. And also doing a solo set. We were just in St. Louis 2 weeks ago out there, and, man, there's some good people out there, so we had a lot of fun.
Now, they can find you all on this website. Was it jimmypappas.com?
Yes, just point jimmypappas.com, J-I-M-I-P-A-P-P-A-S. Check it out.
And all your sites, whether you're playing drums, whether you're playing banjo or, you know, anything, it'll be on there?
That's right. Yeah, on my CDs, I play all the drums, all the guitars, all the singing most of the time. And every now and then I'll play a little keyboard part or something. But and then I have some other great guests, like on my new CD, Hello, Mr. Sunshine, which includes Charlie DeCosa, Michelle Becker, Sonny Jim White, John Frenzy, Rob Ellis Peck, and the list just goes on. I had so much help from these wonderful artists. So, yeah, jimmypappas.com. Check it out.
I know you're up in Long Island in February with Jim and the band. Metro Club anniversary or something. 20th anniversary,
right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep, that's going to be February
11th, I think, or 10th, 10th or 11th.
Yep, we're
it's
gonna
a Saturday
be,
night, yeah.
Yep, and so that's the next time I have to fly to a gig. I have a little bit of downtime right now, which is really a good thing. But if you go to my website and click on shows, you'll see where I'm playing all over the place. We're doing a bunch of theater shows with the John Denver tribute with Tom and Michelle Becker. I'm doing my Beatles tribute in some theaters coming up. And then all my solo shows. So we're having a lot of fun with it.
All right, everyone. You heard that from Jimmy Pappas himself. And, you know, Jimmy, if we were all younger, we could afford to go hang out at football games. And I'm hearing right now we have, let's see if we can bring him on. We have another host here on Ship to Shore Radio from two shows, the Southernmost Sports Rap and also the NFL pregame show, the Zen Man, who is at a bowl game. See if we can bring him in. Zen Man, how's it going out there right now?
I got on the early bus ride. Been tailgating for about 3 hours. We were up 10-3.
We just lost the Zen Man, so hopefully we'll get him back. In fact, we're going to call him from the switchboard.
Game is 10-10 at halftime.
And which bowl is he in? Is it the...
It's the Beefo Brady Bowl from the Tropicana
Bowl. Yeah,
Beefo
Brady Bowl.
Yeah,
I know his cell phone. Like, oh, there he is. He's back on the air. Let's bring him back in.
Hey, guys.
All right, so tell us a little bit what's going on.
I apologize about that. Yeah, I'm trying to get as best signal as I can. I'm out, like, on the outside. But, yeah, it was 10-3 FIU, and Marshall got about a 40-yard touchdown with about 30 seconds left. It's tied up. So it's halftime, 10-10, Panthers. And Marshall had a pretty good schedule, but they were only 6-6 in the regular season. We were 8-4. So I think we still have an edge. Yet to make a huge play. We got an interception that led to a touchdown, so that's our big play so far. But so far in the Beefo Brady's Bowl, we're playing at Tropicana Field, home of the Tampa Bay Rays. And it's pretty cool at the Dome. So far it's 10-10. We got a whole second half to play. So I think FIU's got it. They won last year in the bowl game. We won Little Caesars Pizza Bowl up in Detroit against Toledo last year. So hopefully this leads to our second, bowl game ever win and our second bowl game win, period.
How does that field look up there? Because I was at the Tropicana Dome, see, just raising the Twins. And the infield, when I was there, the turf, it looked like my welcome mat by the back door. It was really horrible.
I mean, it looks pretty basic right now.
That's because you're a fucking Twins fan.
Well, the Rays fan, yeah, the Rays season has been over for quite a while now, so the field looks pretty good for football. But yeah, it's definitely a baseball field. I see a little chalk around the edges, but it's good for football right now.
So let me ask you a question. Did Jack Griffin, did he happen to get it? I noticed the score is 10-7. How long was the field goal that he was able to put between the uprights?
I don't know the exact total. I would say probably about 46 yards. It's pretty decent. About 46.
Decent kick?
Maybe 48 yards. Yeah, it was good. I was cheering him on. I'm the biggest fan. He's a really good guy. You know, he was helping me out as good as possible. Obviously, anybody that listened to my Southernmost Sports Rap Thursday night, he was on there. And, you know, he's a very confident guy. And you saw what he did last year against Toledo to win the bowl game. And You know, I expect the same out of him today.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm pretty sure you have a few captains underneath right now. So.
Yeah. Still the all. Well, T.Y. is our biggest player. T.Y. Hilton, number four. He's electrifying. Against Louisville on ESPN earlier this year, he had 201 yards this evening. So I look for him to have a huge play today. Usually he has an 80-yard touchdown every play, every game, at least once. So I'm looking for that to kind of break the game open a little bit. So we'll hopefully that comes out. We're on ESPN right now, so if you guys are watching.
Turning it on right now.
Calling in and giving us this report this evening. So how long is the bus ride going to be to get back to Miami?
Well, the games are near 8. Our arrival time is about 4:30 a.m. I should get back. Probably about 4.5 hours. Hey, maybe
wow.
Closer to 4 because it's in the a.m., so not too much traffic. It should be about 4.5 hours. But I got the last seat on the 12 bus, so at least I have to drive. Yeah.
Well, man,
I'm sure you're fucking shit hammered as hell.
Yeah. Well, hi guys. Well, honestly, I don't want my phone to die on you guys, so I'm gonna say good night. And just anybody listening, watch ESPN. We're on FIU.
Alrighty, and everyone, I want you to remember to listen on Thursday evenings at 11 p.m. right here on Ship Ashore Radio. Dreaded Sports Talk. You have one of our newest shows coming over from Key West Show. You will get the Southernmost Sports Wrap with the Zen Man. Last week's guest was Jack Griffith, who is actually in the game right now, kicking. And also Sunday at 12 noon, high noon, you will also get the Southernmost NFL pregame show with the Zen Man. Thanks for calling in, Zen, and have a good time.
You guys too, man. Good luck to FIU, and good luck to you guys in the radio show.
All right,
man.
Have a good night. Go FIU.
All right, peace.
Peace. So, Jimmy, how does it feel to be at a show where you never know what's going to happen? I could have gotten a whole line of other people to call in, but would be on forever this evening. I was thinking about calling a bunch of people, but you know what? This is really, 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 really entertaining, and I'm hoping in the future you're going to decide to come back and spend some time with us.
I'd love to come back anytime. Anytime you want a little Florida interjection back from down here, you know, I'll come right by. And I know
Ken to come down here for you know a good amount of time down here in Florida too. You know,
down
but,
in March, you got to get some gigs around the Fort Myers, Sanibel area in the third week of March. That's when I'll be down.
Okay, I'll look into that.
Get right on it.
I'll get right on it, yep.
Well,
I know
guys,
I'm going to be up in Alabama at Orange Beach in Florabama right there for the St. Paddy's Day weekend. So, but hopefully I'll get to catch you down here, Ken.
Yeah, so you,
Ken,
oh, you need
to be more specific. You need to tell him exactly which bar he needs to book
it. Yeah, we'll get that together. That's why you got to go on my website, JimmyPappas.com, and see it all on there.
That's exactly right.
There you go.
Promotion is
actually,
you
I hang
we
out with the
that.
Right people. I get to see you in little house gigs over at Gracie's house. That was the best. You,
yeah,
John Patty, Calypso Nuts, Tall Paul.
I'm going to be doing the house concert there on February 4th.
At Gracie's?
Coming up. On a Sunday afternoon at Gracie's, we're going to take over her pool, me and John Patty. And because my Beatles show is doing the Everglades City Seafood Festival on February 3rd. So I'm going to hang around down there. You know, when you get down south there, you don't want to come back to Orlando. You want to stay south, you know.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Once you go south, you never come back home, but...
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to bring the captain back in, and it's time for the picks if I don't pick on my head.
It really is. I think it really is, and I want to jump right into it because the last time we had a very special guest making picks, there were some peculiar things going on, like the fact that Goomba Richie from the Young Rebel Goombas picked better than all of us. Now, that was...
Yeah, we all look like assholes because of Goomba Richie.
I wouldn't go that far.
Wait a minute, Jimmy, shut up.
Yeah, take it easy. Take it easy now. I just want to say this, though. I did think the Packers were going to get it, but I really thought it was going to be Oakland. And after Oakland didn't do it, I didn't know if anybody was going to get him. But let's go ahead and let's do these picks. Let's see what's going to happen.
Yeah, take it away. Your shit, my brother.
Right off the bat, I am going to say that the Houston Texans are going to beat the Colts. That's what the captain has to say. And, Evil, what are you going to say about that one?
I think the Colts are going to continue their winning ways. Yates showed weaknesses. It happens, and the Colts will just continue to do it.
All right,
I'm going to go with the Texans, even with the quarterback situation. I just think they've been driving it all year, so I'm going to go with the Texans over the Colts.
There you have it. That'll be happening on Thursday at 8:20, and now we're just waiting on Trusty First Mate Ken, who I think
I'm going with the Texans
back.
Because you know Arian Foster's on that team, and he's the greatest running back in the NFL.
I was waiting, especially.
Wait, the greatest fantasy running back in the NFL.
I'm going with the Texans.
There you have it, everyone. The Texans three times, and Evil, as usual, for some reason, he kind of slipped the cog, but that's all right. The Colts, he gets picked to continue on. The Browns and the Ravens, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that the Ravens are going to wipe up the floor with them.
I'm going Ravens.
Yeah, well, you have to go Ravens, even though, you know, they have a tough week this week. But the Browns, you know, they're just not there yet. But you got to love the Browns. You got to love the Browns. I mean, you know, history. And they got that new stadium, too.
The Ravens and who? The Browns? The
Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. I'm going with the Ravens.
Yeah, you got to go with the Ravens.
I still don't know who you're talking about they're playing.
So there you have it, the Broncos and the Bills. Everyone knows that I'll be going for the Broncos in this particular game. What about you, Evil?
The Bills are on such a downward spiral that I don't care who they're playing, I got to go with the Broncos.
Okay, there you have it. What about you, Jimmy?
Hey, I'm going to stick with Tebow and his guys. I think they're going to pull back together. I don't know what happened to the Bills. I mean, the Bills were like a super hopeful earlier this year, but you have to go with the Broncos. You got it. They're going to get it.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Denver also. Buffalo's got too many injuries. That's, the spiral started when the guys started going. Like, they were losing two guys a week, and they're just not the team they were the first 6 weeks of the year.
Not hardly. I agree with you on that. The next game we have up, you have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers visiting the Carolina Panthers, and I say Cam Newton's going to have a good game. And whether he does or not, the team, which is up to his level, will allow the Panthers to beat the Buccaneers.
Well, you got the Cam Newton of last year against the Cam Newton of this year. And you know what? The Cam Newton this year will win. Panthers all the way.
There you have it from Evil. How about you, Ken?
With the Panthers because they have Steve Smith, the greatest wide receiver in football history.
especially in fantasy.
Yeah.
Carried away. Ken. Come on now. Fantasy maybe, but let's not get carried away.
This isn't fantasy football, right? So I'm going to go with Tampa next week. And I know it sounds crazy because Panthers have come alive, but I just think they're going to pull it together. So we're going to go with Tampa Bay.
They may need to win to save the coach's job.
Well,
where is that
yeah,
game? Is it in Carolina or is it in Tampa?
In Carolina.
Carolina.
Hmm. Well, I'm going with Tampa. I got my list here.
Cardinals and the Bengals. I am picking the Bengals to win that one because they're playing at home and they've just been really good this year.
I'm going to go Bengals also.
Yeah,
I have to say the Bengals
here.
As well, only because
Bengals.
They have to bounce back. They have had a couple subpar weeks. Andy Dalton will bounce back.
There you have it, the guy who didn't believe in Dalton earlier. You never know.
I've been believing in Dalton for the last, like, month and a half. Come on now.
What was the point you were going to make, Jimmy?
No, I'm going to say, yeah, I'm with the Bengals on that one.
There you have it. The Chiefs and the Raiders. I am going to pick the Chiefs.
Hell
yeah,
no, Kansas City.
This is a let-off game for them. They just beat the Packers. They're going to go in against the Raiders and say, oh, we got this. This is nothing. No, they're going to get destroyed by the Raiders.
They're going to get destroyed, so you're picking the Raiders to win?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to Kansas City.
Well, thank you, Jim.
You know, I love Kansas. Something I really love about Kansas City, you know. I mean, they got so much heart out there, and the fans are incredible, but I got to go with the Raiders. You know, I just think, you know, I think they're going to get back on it. And the Chiefs, you know, they had a great game last week, but I don't know. I'm going to stick with the Raiders.
I saw that because, everyone. You know, Oakland does not have ribs, and I love ribs, so... But, you know, it still happens. Oakland Raiders win.
So there you have it. Now, I think I know how everybody's going to roll on this one, but we have to pick it anyway. The Dolphins and the Patriots. Of course, we all picked the Chiefs last week, so let's. This is why we picked the games. The Dolphins and the Patriots. I'm picking the Pats.
I'm going with the Patriots, too, since they have the second greatest wide receiver, Wes Welker.
In my fantasy playoff game, I am picking the Dolphins just to spite him. I don't care if they win or they lose, that's why I'm picking the Dolphins. Because I basically say, I can't say it here, I said it before, but I can't say it right now, F you, Wes Welker, I'm picking the Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm down here in Florida, and I'm going to go with the Dolphins. I know it's. I mean, that's crazy. You know, that's going for the heart. But when the Dolphins first won their first game, you know, it was like they were the spoilers all of a sudden. All of a sudden, they could play. You know, and I think it might happen. So I'm going to go with the Dolphins this week.
Okay, there you have it. The man sticking with his native, sticking with his state of being now Florida. And
I'm alone. Yay, thanks, Jimmy.
As we're getting towards the end of the show, I think that we need to rapid fire these last 9 games. So, now I think I know who Jimmy's going to pick in the Jets-Giants game, but let me first tell you that I am going to pick Giants to win that game.
Yeah, we're going with the Giants down here in Florida.
Okay.
I think the Jets are falling apart.
They are, indeed.
I'm going Giants.
Even one says the Jets.
There you have it.
We concur.
The Rams and the Steelers.
Steelers, easily.
He asked, were you sure? And I'm sure that Evil is off his rocker. That's why they call him Evil. He will make someone go to Vegas and bet money they shouldn't.
I'm going with the Steelers.
Well, that's because I'm
old,
but I'm on my rocker.
We're going with the Steelers. I don't know about Big Ben. They might sit him down, but I still think they're going to get him.
Agreed. Ken?
Yeah, I'm going with the Steelers, even though they should sit him down because that ankle's never going to get better. But I think with Charlie Bass, they have enough to beat the Rams.
Absolutely. What are you saying?
Well, one thing the Rams, everyone's forgetting about is the Rams are without Bradford, and he's the only thing that holds that cog together. So, Steelers.
All right. We are down to 2 minutes, everyone. Let's hit it. Jaguars-Titans. I'm picking the Titans to win.
Jaguars.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Go ahead, Jimmy.
What's your pick? Jimmy, you there?
Down here, I'm going with the Titans.
You heard that. Evil?
I'm going with the Jaguars.
Got it. Next, the Vikings and Redskins. I'm picking the Redskins.
Going Vikings.
On goal with the Vikings, only because they beat the Giants last week, and the Redskins can't go 2 weeks in a row with a win.
I'm going to go Skins.
You heard that. Jimmy has picked the Skins. Chargers-Lions. I'm picking the Lions.
We're going San Diego. They're hot right now.
Jimmy?
Down here, I'm going to go San Diego, too, because they are so hot. But I love the Lions. I mean, you just want the Lions to win because they're the Lions, you know. And you got to love that new, you know, you got to love that kid up there, that quarterback. Sorry, I can't remember his name. But, you know, man, you know, they pulled
Matt Ryan. The quarterback's name is Matt Ryan, and he's going to go.
Matt Stafford.
Matt Stafford.
Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
Sorry,
you're right.
Matt
Ryan's on
the
That's just called too many rungs of listening to Jimmy's music.
I think the Chargers are going to keep it going. So,
unfortunately for the Lions.
Evil Rob is going with the Lions because the rum is affecting them, and Matt Stafford will take it, or Matt Ryan will take it, or whoever will take it.
Alrighty, there you have it. And as we continue on, you're picking the Lions. That's the way you're going with it. And we'll write it down just like that. The Cowboys and the Eagles. I am picking the Eagles.
I'm going Cowboys.
Down here, I think the Cowboys are going to get the Eagles. So we're going Cowboys down here.
Yeah, I have to go Cowboys as well. I've been sticking with them all season long, and the Eagles have been on a high horse right now, and
yeah, I mean,
they're ready for a debacle.
Yeah, that routed it, you know, I mean, the Jets, I mean, it was just unbelievable, but I don't think it's going to happen this week, and I think the Cowboys are going to get them.
Yep, Cowboys are playing for their lives.
So I'm the only one who thinks the Eagles are going to win? Okay, we'll talk about this another time. Catch you on Facebook. Don't run. 49ers and Seahawks. I am picking the – you ready for this? Seahawks.
49ers.
49ers down here.
All righty.
Really?
From Orlando.
Really? Really? You took the Seahawks? You took the who?
I never have stumbled or stammered.
You know, the Seahawks at home are incredible because that's like one of the loudest stadiums, you know. And,
Yeah, that thing is, I'm picking the Seahawks as well.
All right, there you go. Now time for two biggest games of the week. First to one on Sunday, the Christmas evening, and we know the Packers are not going to relent on the Bears. But I'm no idiot. I'm picking the Packers to beat the Bears.
Yeah, Green Bay.
Yeah, we're going with Green Bay down here.
All right. Evil?
Green Bay. They're bouncing back.
Well, at this point, I wanted to just to beat the Bears right down Michigan Avenue because they need to take us out of our misery.
Well,
that's where I'm coming from.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well,
why give hope? Why give needless hope?
That's exactly right. Speaking of hope, the Falcons hope that they can slow Drew Brees down. Who is Ken? There's your cue.
The best quarterback in the NFL.
And the
you know, I'm taking the Saints.
I do not believe he's getting his due, but he's due to get about 500 yards this week. So I'm picking the Saints to beat the Falcons.
Down here in Orlando, my wife Shelley is a huge Saints fan. Don't ask me how that happened. I guess she likes Mardi Gras. So we're going to go with the Saints down here. Yeah, they're really doing it. They're getting it done.
Absolutely.
I cannot go against the Saints at home. They are at home this week against the Falcons, and it just can't happen. Saints all the way.
So now you've had it. That's exactly where we stand. And because I think Ken's going to go for the Saints, who have Drew Brees,
yeah.
who is.
Saints all the way.
All right. It's been a wonderful show, everyone. And you can make sure your friends know they can get our picks at dreadedsportstalk.com. You ready for this, everyone? they can go to our blog, which at this exact moment the captain just cannot remember. I'm just kidding. It's dreadedsportstalk.wordpress.com, and there will be a link to it on the Dreaded Sports Talk Facebook page and also on Ship to Shore, since Dreaded Sports Talk is now merged with Ship to Shore with a lot of good things coming on. Speaking of a lot of good things coming on, I think that next year, for those who necessarily weren't familiar with Jimmy Pappas, it'd be a good time for you to go out to a local show. You got to go to jimmypappas.com to find out where you can catch him. And before we go into our final thoughts, I think that what I want to do is to play another tune. This next one, and well, while I'm finding that, I want everyone to open up a beat.
Oh, I like that.
If that
just
and
like
mine,
on,
I,
just like on TV.
Are you
just
making me
like
drink? We're going to play a little tune that, speaking of beer, was just like the beer that Jimmy found out about in California, Little Something Wild. Well, this is the song Little Something Wild by Jimmy Pappas, and we'll be back for our final thoughts. Thanks for listening to Dreaded Sports Talk. This is Captain Frank and Dread with trusty first mate Ken from Jersey and also Evil Rob. Thanks for listening.
I asked her what her name was. She said, Little Something Wild. I said, you mean that's just your style? Her mama was a rocker, and her daddy blew the flame. Sometimes her was just insane. She liked to plant some roots and settle down. But first she's gonna show me all around this town. Yeah, a little something wild. You got a heart like fire. Little something wild, you got a taste like sunshine.
listening to Dreaded Sports Talk on the Dreaded Sports Talk Network.
Yes, it's a good time sing along right here, the Dreaded Sports Talk Show. This is Captain Frank and Dredd. We've had a wonderful show with our very special guest, Jimmy Pappas, sitting in with some very powerful picks and some great perspective on things. And believe me, in Orlando, they know their sports too, even though they're about to lose to White Howard. I just thought I'd throw that in there by chance. It's going to happen,
Captain.
Unfortunately. You're quite welcome. I just wish the Bulls would get them. But I digress. And that being said, this is a little part of the program at the end where everyone has a chance to give their feel-good stories or thoughts about anything pertaining to sports or something good that they want to share with the listeners. And on this particular evening, we're going to start off with Evil. Evil, what would you like to impart with our listeners this evening?
I just want everybody out there to look at all these so-called BS bowl games. Like, what's going on tonight? You got Florida International against Marshall in the Beef O'Brady Bowl. You know, you sit here and say, oh, it's the Beef O'Brady Bowl. Well, it means nothing. Yes, it really means nothing except to all the players, all the students, all the anything, supporters of the teams that are playing right now. And pay attention. They're on national TV for a reason. There's bowl games for a reason. I know I've gone against it for years, and I'm going to continue to go against it. But right now, pay attention to these schools, because you know what? They deserve what they're getting. They deserve the national recognition they're getting.
Very nicely put. There are way too many bowls. Some of them should be thrown down and flushed into the toilet bowl, but just saying that students deserve an opportunity to get their due. Jimmy, do you have anything you want to impart with our listeners?
Well, basketball, I guess it's a good thing that they got the season together, and it's certainly good down here in Orlando because it's all we got. But, you know, and the other thing is, I don't know about these the penalties they're calling in the NFL, I mean, some of them are just, you know, protect the quarterback, that's cool, but some of this other stuff is out of control. So hopefully, I don't know where that's going. But and I also want to just put in one more time to check out jimmypappas.com for some music.
Shameless promotion. That's very important to have shameless promotion here. So thank you,
Jimmy.
Great job, man. And Trusty First Mate Ken, what's on your mind?
Did I mention that Arian Foster and Drew Brees? I mentioned that, okay. I saw a story this week.
Wait, you forgot
Maurice Jones-Drew.
Maurice Jones-Drew,
too. A local story, Eric LeGrand, the Rutgers player who was paralyzed last season in that Army-Rutgers game, is actually making some pretty good progress. They showed him in the rehab center, and he's actually able to sit up. He's getting movement in his arms. They got him on a treadmill. Now he's getting a lot of assistance on the treadmill, but he's actually getting a range of motion, and things are he's made incredible progress for considering what happened to him just last year. He's and his goal is to walk again, and if he keeps up at this pace, he just may. And I understand they're going to let him lead the team out onto the field in the bowl game they're playing. Rutgers is playing Iowa State at Yankee Stadium in the Pinstripe Bowl. So that's a good story. He's starting to come around.
I think that's a very good story, and thanks for sharing it with us. And the captain would like to just say that Penn State, I think that I will have to bring them up again just to mention that as they revamp their relationship between academics and also athletics, that they need to be smart enough to just remove all lockers and shower rooms, because not only did you have Sandusky and his hijinks, now you have a quarterback and a wide receiver fighting in the locker room close to the shower. I'm not even going to start jokes about what that might have been about. They said that he gestured in some way and he made a threatening type movement towards him. I don't want to speculate on that either. I will say that it seems to me the best thing for Penn State to do is just to alleviate all locker rooms and showers and swimming pools. and I will leave it at that. And I want to say this has, again, been a great episode of Dreaded Sports Talk. Thanks again to Trusty First Mate Ken and Evil Rob, and also our very special guest, Jimmy Pappas, which the same as Drew Brees and Steve Smith and Aaron Foster get their plugs.
Drew Brees.
Very important.
Jimmy Pappas, by the way, do we say JimmyPappas.com? Yeah,
JimmyPappas.com.
Check it out.
JimmyPappas.com. And this has truly been a great show, everyone. And we're going to leave you with some final Jimmy Pappas music for this evening. It's a James Taylor cover. This is called Lighthouse. And this is what I would like to say is the end of the period. Everyone, we'll see you again next week. And, Jimmy, thanks one final time. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for coming
Jimmy,
on, Jimmy.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A happy New Year to everybody here coming in the New Year.
Absolutely. Same to you. Say hello to your wife. We met her at the Red
Wing. One more week before Happy New Year. Merry Christmas, Mother Flocker.
Oh, happy Krimble and a happy Nude Year. Yes.
Nude Year.
Exactly.
Yes,
enjoy
Nude Year. Hey, I like the way that sounds.
Enjoy your eggnog, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Off the coast of Africa, bound for South America, a world away from here, is a ship that sails the sea, is a man who's just like me, and I wish that I was there. I'm a lonely lighthouse, not a ship out in the night, watching the sea. She's come halfway round the world to see the light and to stay away from me. There is a shipwreck lying at my feet, some weary refugee from the rolling deep. Oh, you could lose it all and fall for me. Couldn't we shine one more time? I'd like to shine like the sun for one more summer day. I'd like to shine like the lighthouse for one more summer night. Flashing on, flashing on, fading away. Now if you feel lost and lonely and don't know where to go, and you hear this song on the radio, even if you're feeling healthy and strong, you might like to sing along. Now just because I might be standing here, that don't mean I won't be wrong this time. Or you could follow me and lose your mind. I'd like to shine like the sun for one more summer day. I'd like to shine like the lighthouse for one more summer night. Flashing on, flashing on, fading away. Off the coast of Africa, bound for South America, a world away from here, is a ship that sails the sea, is a man who's just like me, and I wish that I was there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd like to shine like the sun for one more summer day. I'd like to shine like the lighthouse for one more summer night. Flashing on, flashing on, fading away. I'd like to shine. One more.
Shore Radio.
Ship to Shore Radio.
Ship to Shore Radio. Ship to Shore Radio. Ship to Shore Radio.